This episode sponsored by The Bomb Box. When someone you love is going through cancer, you want to do more than send flowers. You want to truly help. That's why there's The Bomb Box. Founded by six-time cancer survivor Liz Bendit, The Bomb Box creates thoughtfully curated care packages filled with premium, practical tools designed specifically for surgery, chemo, and recovery. Every item is chosen based on insights from more than 500 patients and caregivers, because during treatment, the smallest comforts can make the biggest difference. Don't just send a gift, send real support. Visit thebombbox.com today and get free shipping on orders over $50. That's thebalmbox.com.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
Welcome to the Cinema Gold Show. As always, I'm your host, Larry Lease. On today's episode, we're going to take a look back at 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. As we reflect on 9/11 and other tragic events that pretty much, I would say, came out of the 9/11 terrorist attack. So with that, we're going to dive right in, shall we? 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi is directed by Michael Bay and was released in 2016 and dramatizes the events of September 11th, 2012, when Islamic militants attacked two U.S. government compounds in Benghazi, Libya. Based on the book 13 Hours, the film focuses on six members of a moderately secret U.S. security team, the Global Response Staff who fought to defend the American diplomatic mission in the CIA annex following the attacks. So this review examines 13 Hours in terms of its narrative structure, characterization, direction, style, action sequences, realism, historical accuracy, thematic implications, and its broader cultural and political impact. The goal is to offer a balanced review to acknowledge the film's strengths and its weaknesses, and to assess how well it succeeds in its ambition to portray a dramatic, real-world incident with both fidelity and cinematic power. The film opens with establishing shots post-Gaddafi Libya, an unstable political and social climate, rising unrest, and an American diplomatic presence that is underprepared for what will come. The narrative arc is fairly linear: build-up, attack, response, aftermath. There is a temporal rhythm. The movie tracks thin moments of tension, alternated, with thick sequences of violent conflict. Michael Bay is known for high-intensity action, and here he intersperses quieter character moments with periods of intense combat. The pacing overall errs towards the heavy side. The film runs about 144 minutes. Some critics argue that the film could have benefited from tighter editing, particularly in scenes that do not advance the character or plot meaningfully. However, the long duration does help in creating a sense of endurance, of fatigue, escalation, important in depicting what was in truth a prolonged, chaotic, and terrifying ordeal. The film's tensions build gradually, culminating in several large-scale action set pieces that dominate the second half. The six members of the GRS are the primary characters, with additional supporting roles from CIA operatives, diplomatic personnel, and Libyan civilians. The ensemble cast includes James Dale, John Krasinski, Pablo Schreiber, Max Martini, David Denman, and apologies for butchering his name, Dominic Famusa. These characters are largely depicted in their functional roles, guards, soldiers, snipers, rather than as deeply individual personalities. The film gives some details, background, temperament, personal loyalty, but there is less exploration of fears, doubts, moral ambiguity, or political positioning beyond the immediacy of the battle. As a result, some viewers may find them admirable, if somewhat stereotyped as soldiers in action, rather than deeply complex human beings. The supporting characters, especially civilians or diplomatic staff, are less developed. Their emotional arcs serve to heighten stakes, rather than carry independent narrative weight. Performance-wise, the actors do what is asked. They convey physical exhaustion, fear, adrenaline. In intense action moments, the teamwork, the urgency, and chaos are convincingly portrayed. Some quiet moments, discussions of orders, waiting for support, are less memorable, perhaps because the script gives less attention to them. In all, the performances serve the film well enough. They're not uniformly subtle, but they do deliver the necessary immediacy of the cries. Michael Bay's directorial style is very present in 13 Hours. The film is visually rich with dramatic lighting, high contrast, explosions, detailed weaponry, and chaotic frames during combat. There is a visceral intensity, close quarters fight, loud gunfire, debris, panic, confusion. One scene starts late evening and continues through the long night into the early morning, giving a cinematic journey through darkness, both literal and metaphorical. Bay's camera movement, editing, sound design, and special effects are geared towards immersion. Viewers feel the shocks, the stakes. However, some critics argue that the style sometimes overwhelms the story. Explosions that are visually spectacular but narratively redundant. Scenes of destruction that prolong rather than sharpen tension. And particularly, interludes where Bay leans into his known excesses, slow-mo, flash cuts, loud score, occasionally undercut narrative clarity. Still, many of those same excesses will appeal to audiences expecting a high-octane war film. The film is among Bay's more grounded works, less stylized than some of his earlier blockbusters, but it still bears his signature. The action sequences are the heart of 13 Hours. The film delivers multiple rounds of attack, initial assaults on the diplomatic compound, counterattacks, defense of the CIA annex. These are choreographed with attention to weapon placements, violent consequences, and confusion. Confusion endemic to such situations. Bay does not sanitize the carnage. Blood injury, sudden death, miscommunication, and chaos are depicted. The spatial layout of Benghazi's compounds, the mix of local militia, attackers from multiple directions, and uncertain allegiances provide a gritty backdrop. However, realism is uneven. Certain tactical elements seem compressed for cinematic economy. The film shows a recurring motif. The contractors trying to get permission to assist, being told to stand down or awaiting orders, hampered by bureaucratic or communication delays. Whether or not that is historically accurate, its inclusion contributes to dramatic tension. But for some viewers, the intensity and momentum of action sometimes crowd out context. Who the attackers are, their motivations, local political dynamics, consequences beyond the fight. Since 13 Hours is based on real events, accusations of errors or misrepresentation have followed. From the start, the film asserts itself as based on the book, which attempts to reconstruct events from multiple survivors' accounts. Number one, the biggest of all, stand down order. The film depicts the CIA chief at the annex ordering the contractors to stand down when they seek to go to the ambassador's compound. This has been contested. The real CIA chief has said no stand down order was given. Survivors maintain that the phrase stand down was used. And then, when it comes to air support, the film suggests that air support was denied or unavailable. Reality appears more ambiguous. Some reports suggest air support would have arrived too late to be effective rather than being strictly denied. Number three, portrayal of Libyan civilians and militia. Critics inside Libya argued the film underplays or misrepresents the contributions or perspectives of local people. Some Libyans felt portrayed as fanatical or ignorant without sufficient nuance. The film does depict civilians caught in the crossfire, but their agency is limited. Number four, political dimension. Some criticism is that the film largely sidelines the broader political causes and implications of the Benghazi attack, what led to instability, the internal security arrangements, the U.S. foreign policy context, preferring instead to focus almost exclusively on the firefight and personal valor. Excuse me. Nevertheless, despite controversies, many critics concede that 13 Hours does fairly well in terms of raw depiction of combat logistics, weapons, timelines among the six men, and visceral experience. It's not a documentary, and it does not attempt a fully dispassionate or multifaceted political history. It is selective, designed for dramatic effect. As such, deviations from some reported realities do not wholly undermine its impact, but they do shape what kind of film it is. At its core, 13 Hours is a story of courage under fire. of improvised heroism in the face of overwhelming chaos, and of men responding to an assault when official protection seems delayed or ineffective. It raises questions about responsibility. Who is accountable when security is inadequate, when warnings are ignored, when bureaucratic or political constraints delay action? The film suggests, with some force, that individual bravery matters, that in war zones, individuals often have to assume responsibilities beyond their roles. It also underscores the human cost of conflict, loss, trauma, moral compromise. Another theme is loyalty to fellows, to mission, to country. The GRS team members show loyalty to each other, to the people they are assigned to protect, even when orders or support feel lacking. The film also implicitly critiques slow or abstract decision-making during crises. The stand-down or wait-for-permission moments are painful because they illustrate how chains of command, rules of engagement, politics, and protocol can sometimes obstruct prompt protective response. Whether the film's depiction is accurate or not, it capitalizes on the audience's sense of frustration with institutional inertia. Moreover, 13 Hours explores the distance between combatants and non-combatants, diplomats, CIA agents, contractors, and how roles blur in emergencies. The film suggests that labels matter less when bullets are flying. What matters is who acts, who helps, who endures. So some of the strengths of this film: immersive action and tension, emotional resonance, production values, the cinematography, sound design, practical effects, all contribute to a believable environment. They focus on lesser-known heroic figures, but some of the weaknesses include lack of deeper character exploration, overemphasis on spectacle, deficient in political or moral nuance, controversies over accuracy, emotional manipulation risk. To understand 13 Hours, it helps to compare it with other films in the war and true story genre. Compared to Bay's earlier films, 13 Hours is more grounded. Bay's trademark showiness remains, but the film is less cartoonish than some of his action blockbusters. The quieter moments of fear, confusion, and human doubt are more frequent than in some of his more spectacle-driven works. In comparison to other films about U.S. foreign military intervention or diplomatic crisis, Black Hawk Down, Lone Survivor, American Sniper, 13 Hours shares many tropes: heroism under fire, chaos of combat, conflict between orders and moral urgency. But 13 Hours is less interested in introspection or critique. It focuses on external threat and reaction more than internal conflict or ethical questioning. Excuse me. On balance, 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi is a strong entry in the modern war film canon. Its priority is to deliver an intense, immersive experience, to bring viewers into the desperation, chaos, and moral stakes of a real attack. In that goal, it largely succeeds. It is not flawless. Character depth is uneven. Political and historical contexts are simplified. Controversial elements are presented in a way that many presuppose disputed claims. But it is emotionally effective, visually powerful, and respectful, at least in its basic intent, to those who experience the events. The film's strengths will most likely appeal to audiences who favor action, realism of combat, stories of valor, and who are less concerned with exhaustive political nuance. Those seeking a more balanced, questioning, reflective film, especially over foreign policy, security policy, moral ambiguity, may feel the film falls short. Yet, even 13 Hours offers much to consider. 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi is a compelling example of how cinema can dramatize real tragedy with force, while also embodying the compromises that such dramatization often requires. Michael Bay delivers a film with visceral intensity, believable action, and memorable moments of courage under fire. But the film also simplifies, sweeps aside some ambiguities, and at times privileges spectacle over subtlety. It is a film that will satisfy many action aficionados and those interested in heroism, but leave others wishing for a deeper, more nuanced inquiry into events, motives, and consequences. Ultimately, 13 Hours is not simply a retelling of Benghazi. It is a lens, a narrative choice, a version of heroism framed through guns, fatigue, and duty. It reminds us that in the moments of crisis, ordinary individuals may find themselves in extraordinary positions. And that telling, those stories, well, matters, both for memory and for morality. So let me know your thoughts on 13 Hours in the comments section below. Give us a thumbs up if you like our video. Hit that subscribe button down below. Hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/cinemagold. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
This episode sponsored by The Bomb Box. When someone you love is going through cancer, you want to do more than send flowers. You want to truly help. That's why there's The Bomb Box. Founded by six-time cancer survivor Liz Bendit, The Bomb Box creates thoughtfully curated care packages filled with premium, practical tools designed specifically for surgery, chemo, and recovery. Every item is chosen based on insights from more than 500 patients and caregivers, because during treatment, the smallest comforts can make the biggest difference. Don't just send a gift, send real support. Visit thebombbox.com today and get free shipping on orders over $50. That's THEBALMBOX.com.